while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Right, if you have your materials, you can turn to page 574. 574 is where we will begin. And I want to begin with just our general review. Again, keeping in mind that I'm approaching this portion, this review, this study of the Lord's Prayer as a revelation of God, certain things, attributes of God, and in turn, the requisite duty of man that would be associated with that revelation. And we did in the preface, we noted God's love, that is, that we can come to God as our Father, obviously only because of his love to us as we know it in Christ, for what Christ has done for us. Otherwise, there's no way. No way. We would not be calling God our Father. We would still be calling the devil our father, although very few would openly do that. That is effectively the life they live. And more we actually see that happening. So we see God's love, and in turn, the requisite duty on our part to love God and to love one another in like manner. Right? Second one, the first petition. We are to, hallowed be thy name, the petition, we are to honor, and we are to rightly use how God has revealed himself. And we are to reverence that, we are to sanctify it, we are to, in our part here, our duty, is that God has revealed himself through us to a lost and dying world. Our job, to be testimonies, to be the light, to be the salt. Well, that's God revealing himself to the world. And that's our duty, to make sure that we are holy, so that as we reveal, as we are revealed, you folks come on in and grab you a seat. Right over here, maybe. Either place, that's fine. Good. So God, in hallowing his name and revealing to the world us, our job then is to be holy, because if you're going to reveal God to the world, well, certainly the big thing there is that God is holy. And we certainly want to reveal God as love. We do that too, as we dealt with in the preface. Second petition, thy kingdom come, that God has a kingdom. That kingdom is over against the kingdom of Satan. Scripture certainly shows both kingdoms at work, both kingdoms with their participants, with their servants, with their members, with whatever term you want to use for those who are in each kingdom. But there's a kingdom. God has a kingdom. And of course, as believers, it's when we become part of his kingdom, our job, our duty, is to do the work of the kingdom, to know what God has revealed, and obviously then to be part of the church, to help the church do its function, to personally minister, be a testimony to those about us. Thy will be done teaches us of God's providence. God's decrees as carried out in the works of creation, which has happened, and providence. Providence being our part. And our part, our duty, is to know that will to the extent God has revealed it to us in his word. And to that part that God has not revealed to us, yet is just as much a part of his will and his providential working, we are to submit, all right, and willingly submit. So we are to know God's will for us to the extent he's revealed it, and we are to do it and submit to that, and we are to submit willingly, lovingly, knowing that God is working for our good. Fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Just again, now that's again, we talked about it. That's obviously part of God's will. But Christ, in teaching his disciples to pray, highlighted things. And we just want to know why. Here, God's provision, God's involvement in our life every day, all the time. Your breath, your mind, your heart beating, whatever it is. Your job, your work, your ability to work, your ability to be kind one to another. God is involved in all of it. He must be if you're going to do it for his glory. He is, for he is sovereign. Everything that transpires is according to God's providence. Everything. And we're going to consider that a little more with our petition this morning. So our daily bread, and then the next one, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses, the word, whichever word, two passages, debts and sins, what we have. But again, the daily cleansing, the daily provision in the previous petition, now the daily cleansing. He's teaching his disciples, forgive us our sins. Believers needing forgiveness. And we know that. We know we need it. Christ is teaching his disciples, make sure you do it. You seek that daily cleansing. And in turn, and we spent a fair amount of time talking about this, in turn, our duty to forgive others, to be forgiving as we seek to be forgiven, to let it go, we talked about, to put it away. It's not an issue between you and them personally any longer. All right? That ability, that willingness to forgive, even at the moment of being wronged, being willing and ready to forgive. So that brings us to the sixth petition. Sixth petition, you see it there on page 574, and we'll look at the question and answer in just a minute, but just to put it before us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I've got a question. I don't know, maybe it was just me. Does anything about that petition strike you as being a bit strange or odd? Why would we ask God to not lead us into temptation? Certainly, is there maybe the inference or implication that God leads us into temptation? If we're asking him not to, Is there here the thought? Well, wait a minute. Is God involved in making me sin? Now, it's obviously a serious question. And the answer we know to be obvious, and I'll get to it. Bill, you got a thought?
What came to mind was Romans 1, and God gave the motive to the reprobate mind.
Okay. Did God cause them, lead them to be reprobate in their mind?
Well, I think in our depraved nature, we must act the things that we should be doing, and God has said, okay.
Okay, good. And we're going to see that as we go here. Jordan? Yeah, temptation is part of it. Temptation's part of it. And certainly, yes.
Is it the same word as in Matthew 4:1 that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness?
Yeah, I don't know the Greek well enough to know, to answer. I'd have to look. I depend on Strong's very heavily. Some of you may have it on your phone. I think it is. But I will reserve comment on that. So yes, Rebecca. All right, good. So a matter of interpretation of Scripture. Right, good. When we see something that doesn't look right, that doesn't just hits us a little wrong, wait a minute. Can this be? Really? We go and we look at the rest of Scripture. And so we look at what we know about God. And obviously, we know that God is pure and holy. He is without sin. He's not capable of sin. Right? So if that's the case, certainly we can't see this passage as saying that God then is involved in some way, whether it be directly or indirectly in our sin. Right? So, we, and the word temptation here is a word that in part you could come to the conclusion we're talking about. It's a putting into. The idea of putting into, to expose to experience evil, all right? To provoke to sin, all right? That's the word that's here, the temptation. But we look at what we know about God. He's holy, he's pure, he's never the author or participant in any sin. We also know, and given that, we know that God is sovereign. Now, I think this is an area that we don't think about God's sovereignty a lot in relation to. But God's sovereign in the area of our sin. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, outside of the sovereignty of God. So, God providentially, all right, and this gets a little, you got to think, you got to be careful. God providentially can do something about our sin, all right, because he's sovereign. If he can do something about anything, he in everything, he can do something when it comes to the relation of our sin. And like I say, it's not something we think a lot about. We think more what we were our daily provision, God's sovereignty there, the things that come into our life, the trials, the difficulties, yes, but the sin. But this petition is making us think about it for a very important reason, which we're going to see. God also, we know, gave man what? A free will. Now, if God was going to dictate everything that man did, why would he give him a free will? And we know, and we see, right? Adam and Eve in the garden, perfect. Everything that a human being could want, humanly speaking, Adam and Eve sinned. God didn't stop it. Could God have stopped it? Yes, he could have. But he didn't. He gave man a free will to allow man to use that. And unfortunately, Adam used it the wrong way and plunged us all into sin, and then we have our own sin on top of it, and we do the same thing. We use that freedom that God has given us to do things in our life. But unfortunately, we make a mess of things far too often. So we look at this petition with those things in mind, right? And I think it's interesting. We've got this prayer, two petitions deal with sin. Out of the whole prayer, two petitions deal with sin. The last one we talked about, dealing with God's forgiveness, God's forgiving our sin. We've sinned. We now come to God and ask for forgiveness. This petition is a petition for God to help us avoid sin. To not get to the place where we have to ask forgiveness. To not sin. That's what this petition is about. So, let's take a look at it now. It just indicates how much of our life deals with sin. We're in a battle 24/7. And I think the fact that we have these two petitions is just indicative of just how much this occupies our life and how much we need God both to forgive us when we do sin, but for the believer, hopefully the desire of your heart is, Lord, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. Keep me from sinning. And I would suggest to you that's what this petition's about. So let's look at it. Page 574. Question, Larger Catechism, question 195. What do we pray for in the sixth petition? In the sixth petition, and I'm just going to read through it and then we'll come back and make comments. In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for divers holy and just ends, right? Don't skip over that. That's just so important. for divers holy and just ends may so order things, that's providence, may so order things that we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptations, that Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready powerfully to draw us aside and ensnare us, and that we, even after the pardon of our sins, by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted and forward to expose ourselves unto temptations, but also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist them, to recover out of them, and to improve them, that is, to avoid them. And worthy to be left under the power of them. That's the problem. That's where we are. Knowing that, continuing with our answer, we pray that God would so overrule the world and all in it, subdue the flesh and restrain Satan, order all things, bestow and bless all means of grace, and quicken us to watchfulness in the use of them, that we and all his people may, by his providence, be kept from being tempted to sin. Or, if tempted, that by his Spirit we may be powerfully supported and enabled to stand in the hour of temptation. Or, when fallen, raised again and recovered out of it, and have a sanctified use and improvement thereof, that our sanctification and salvation may be perfected. Satan trodden under our feet, and we fully freed from sin, temptation, and all evil forever. That's glory. Okay? So let's just back up and look a little bit at some of what we've read. And again, take time to read through it again at home. Just one I would encourage you. You read through that and think about the words and what God's word, because it's supported by Scripture, think about what the words say and just what is happening, what God is or is not doing. Because it's key, and we're going to see some of that. It is key that we understand what this petition is all about if we are going to know victory over sin. You don't get what this petition's about, you're going to have a hard time in your sanctification. You're going to have a hard time when you're tempted. We have a hard enough time. All right? But there is help available as we go through this. And lead us not, lead, the word there, bring us into, carry into. I think it's this word, if I remember correctly. It's the only time lead is used in Scripture, but this is the only time this word is used, this particular word, is in the Lord's Prayer. But carry us into, there's lead to carry us out of, that's a different word. All right? There's a lead to influence and so forth. But lead, this is, don't carry us into these places. Or don't let us go there. All right? Lead us not into temptation. We've already talked about that word. But deliver. I love this word. When I looked it up, I thought, wow, wonderful. The word deliver here means to rescue. Means to rescue, but rescue us from evil. Deliver us not into Lord, don't let us go there. Keep us, don't take us by your providence. May it not be that we are exposed, that we're led into it. But Lord, when we're there, when we face it, rescue us. When we're overcome, and how often we're overcome, God, please rescue us. Rescue me from Satan, from Satan's attacks, from what he would do in my life. Rescue me. And then we see acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, just what we were talking about earlier, what we must remember about God, what we know about God. So when this is happening, keep in mind what we know about God. Be careful. We live in a day and age when everything that's wrong is somebody else's fault. And for the Christian, it can easily, well, God could have made it different. And he could have. But he didn't. For a reason. So don't be blaming God for your sin. God didn't do it, you did. God didn't cause you to do it, you did. That's why it's so important, again, to give thought to this and understand. Well, how is it? But God, I'm a child of God. And sometimes as parents, we let our children suffer a little bit, don't we? Not to their destruction, but we let them learn. Hey, you do that, and it'll hurt. And sometimes, whether we're letting them do it or not, they do it anyway, and they find out that what we told them. Don't mess with that. You know, leave that be alone. If it stings you, it'll hurt. And we go and we aggravate the bee, and the bee stings us. And we find out, whoa, that hurts. So we need to be careful. And we need to remember that God is most wise, righteous, and gracious. He knows what he's doing. He's holy, and he's kind, full of mercy. And for whatever reasons known to him, for divers holy and just ends, he may so order things, God's providence, God's sovereignty, including things relative to our sinning. So order things that we may be assaulted. So here again's the problem. Put me two brackets in this answer. And this first part is the problem. The problem that we've got to be aware of. Every bit of this that he names here is a problem for you and a problem for me. It's not just a problem for the writers of the catechism. It wasn't something unique to their day and age. This is a problem for you, for me. So let's look at it. So what's the problems? Well, we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptations. Had that time, those times where it just boom, 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 one after the other. Just no let up and boom, 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 we fall. Assaulted. That's what the devil's doing constantly, assaulting. That Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready, powerfully, more power than you have to combat. You're toast in your own strength. No ability. We've got to understand that to get to where we're going to get to. Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready powerfully to draw us aside and ensnare us. And that we, even after we're saved, even after we're saved. It's your problem, my problem right now. Even after the pardon of our sins, by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted. So that's, you think, okay, yeah, I know those things. I know that corruption's still there. I know I get careless at times, right? But not only is that true, we are inclined to expose ourselves to those temptations. I mean, we just walk headlong, go out there and walk right in front of the car, knowing that it's going to do us a lot of hurt when it hits us. We expose ourselves to it. And then, after we've done that, but we are also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist them. So we go out there and stand in front of that car knowing that we can't stop it. Knowing that when we put ourselves in harm's way, the end result is inevitable. We're going to be harmed. And we, once we do that, are unable of ourselves, because of our corruption and that continuing problem, to get ourselves out of it. Okay? We get ourselves into a fight, and we got no way of getting out of it while we're getting beat to a pulp. And we're not inclined of ourselves to learn from it. That's the idea of to improve them. We just go right back and get beat up again. And because of all that, are worthy to be left under the power of Satan, the world, and the flesh. Left up to us. Even after we're saved, and again, I want you to understand, the mercy of God in getting us out of mess after mess at times when we aren't even trying to get out of it. We have a heavenly Father who is watching over us. Even when we're doing wrong, and will not allow us to be destroyed, because he's more powerful. We aren't, but he is more powerful than our enemy. And so, what do? We pray. The solution. When we see the proof text, we'll see. When temptation comes, the answer is pray. Watch and pray. Watch. I'm thinking what I shouldn't be thinking. I'm seeing what I shouldn't be seeing. I am doing what I shouldn't be doing. We take note. We can be unwatchful, and boom, we're in the middle of it. That's when the rescuing comes. But we watch, and when the temptation's coming, we pray. Why? Why do you think we pray? Saying words going to change anything? What's the key? Why do we pray?
It's where your trust is.
What else? We're trusting God to help us. What else? Why else do we need to pray?
Jesus told his disciples to
Okay? So that we don't fall. Why would we not fall? I mean, it's you know this, but I just want to drive it home. We pray because we're helpless, and God is the only source strong enough to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's it. If you're in trouble and you want to get out of trouble, you generally will do what you need to do to get to the source that'll help you do that. And in this case, there's only one source. Only one. And it's God, because of what Christ has done. You can ask for God, you can pray. Number one, because Christ has made it possible for you to come to God and pray. But you can pray because Christ has earned the victory. You can come to God and ask Him for the benefit of the work of Christ that is yours. It's the big benefit. Christ has overcome the world. So you go to the Father and say, I want that help that Christ earned for me. You don't ask for it. What are you going to rely on? What are you left to? Yourself. Which solution do you prefer? And again, we just don't think about it that much. Your sin's the thing we don't want to think about. We don't like it. We know it's not good. And as with a lot of things in life, if we don't like it and it's not good, we just try to ignore it. And that works for some things, but not for sin. Because Satan's not going to leave you alone. You can't ignore him, and he'll leave you alone. Doesn't work that way. Be nice, maybe, if it did. But it doesn't. He's out to destroy you. He's out to devour you. And you're just sitting there waiting to be devoured. And Dr. Benson, when the lion roars, you know, and how far you can hear that roar, but when the lion roars, what do? As a Christian, when you hear the lion roaring, you better start praying. Praying fervently that God would keep you from being the lion's prey. Because that's the lion's end goal. That's the lion's end goal. And we see, and we'll go through verses next week, but just I kind of jotted down in the solution. We pray that God, by His providence, would keep us from being tempted. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That you can ask God to just keep you from being tempted? Lord, today, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm discouraged, I'm whatever. I am more open to Satan's attack. Please. Just keep him at bay. Don't let me be tempted in this area today, please. Not a thing wrong with asking God for that. Like I say, we'll look at proof text, but we see that no temptation. Or if we're tempted, that is by his spirit we may be powerfully supported and enabled to stand. Help us to resist the devil, to resist the temptation. All right? Temptations come. Now what do? We want to resist it. We want to do what we need to do in order to do that. We want to resist it. Or when fallen, temptation came and we fell. We sinned. To be recovered, raised again, and recovered out of it. Right along with our previous petition. That's where it fits in. Forgiveness and restoration. No temptation. Resist temptation. Seek forgiveness for the temptation and the sin. And have a sanctified use and improvement. Learn our lesson. That's what that means. Learn our lesson. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it in our own strength. We need God's help. We learn. If I'm here, I'm more prone to do wrong. So we learn. What? I shouldn't be there. That's a place I need to stay away from. We learn. If we don't learn, we're back up there where we just expose ourselves to sin. Okay? Well, my time's gone. And there's more here, and we're going to spend some time on it because, again, it's a problem. Maybe it's just me. But this is such a problem because the devil doesn't leave us alone. It's a battle we all are engaged in. And here's a solution. Here's a remedy. Here's help. All right? And I want us to think about it. And then more importantly, I want us to make use of what God's given us to use. And we'll look at more of that next Lord's Day, Lord willing. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we are thankful to you for your love and goodness to us. Oh, how much we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, so much that we just leave on the table, as it were. Benefits that we never take advantage of. Oh, Father, especially in this area of sin that contaminates our soul, that hurts us in our Christian life, that hurts us in our relationship with Thee. Lord, give us help, we pray. Give us understanding. Help us to make good use of the means of grace that you've provided for us to the end, that we might be clean vessels fit for the Master's use. Bless our time to follow. Lord, minister to our hearts. Help us in our worship by Thy Spirit, Lord, that we might worship Thee aright. May you be pleased with our worship this day. May it bring glory to Thy name, and may it be for the good of Thy people. And we'll thank you for it, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.